All right. Well, hello, everyone. This is episode 7 of Concussion. Yay, I got the episode right. Thanks, Andy. You're the best. So, yes, my name is Johnny, and I play Alchemist now. Ooh.
My name is Andy, and I'm back to playing Rat Catchers.
My name is Alex, and I am not sure what I'm playing. Maybe Hunters, I guess.
Go with Hunters.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hunters. You seem pretty solid with those.
They're pretty good, yeah, so far.
So, yeah, has it been a month?
It's been just a little bit over a month since
month and like 2 weeks, something like that.
It was mid-October that we recorded at SteamCon US.
SteamCon.
Yeah, with the awesome country music going on in the background.
It wasn't that, like, having it just constantly going and just being, like, Stockholm syndromed into it, it wasn't bad. I was starting to kind of be okay with that.
Oh, well, actually, I don't know if you noticed during the episode, the audio was very tight at the very beginning where you couldn't hear the country music until I had to start adjusting everybody's mics because
it was a shit show. Vince, I had a lot of beers. Vince was like
Vince
the mic
had
master.
No mic control whatsoever.
Yeah, well, and you guys were there till like midnight plus.
Yeah, right?
It was after midnight.
Yeah, after like a whatever hour drive or something like that, or was that like second?
That
night?
Was our day. That was on Saturday night that we did that, but. I was playing games literally all day, and then I went to play some more games after that. I think I played like 2 more games. I went to bed at 3:30 that night. So
hardcore.
I was a machine. I think I played like 18 games in total over the weekend. So
I don't play games.
Whatever. You play games. Get out of here.
I played a couple.
Yeah.
I don't actually remember any of the games I played at Steam.
You played like some of the doubles games, right? In the tournament.
Yeah, I played in the doubles tournament, and that was kind of entertaining.
Yeah, you and Lang, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
The creator of GB Manager. Don't bug him. He's an awesome dude.
Or hit him up with all your questions. He loves that. I heard that's his favorite thing.
So we've got at least one event that I know of that's locally that's coming up. I believe it is completely sold out. But
there's a huge wait list. Well, there's not a huge wait list, but there's a wait list. It's Second Wind. So you're not going if you're not already going. But if you are, I'm jealous
because
I
want to go. You had signed up. Did you sign up for that? Or
no, not yet.
Okay.
I had to ask my wife about it and see first. I can go if I can go.
Sure.
So I need to know sort of how that's going to work out.
I don't know if you should probably get you on the wait list if we can.
Yeah, if we could, that'd be great.
Yeah.
At the very least.
I'll at least get you in touch with the person to do that. I mean, big event. It's 64 people, which is
huge.
Pretty freaking huge. Generally, unless there's something that's absolutely glorious here, every time I've been to an event that's been like 64 maxed out, usually that there's a small crew that can't make it.
So it always happens like last minute. Yeah. So hopefully you can like get in there, but who knows? Maybe all 64 will show up and they'll.
Or you can take my place.
What? No, Andy, go. Oh, you're going. Go play.
You actually play games.
It's over two days, right?
Yeah, they're doing it over 2 days. It's like the Saturday, Sunday. It's like the 14th, 15th, right?
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, I suppose we should mention too that we are recording on the anniversary of Alex's wedding.
Oh yeah,
so he's a trooper. He's
I'm a dedicated Guild Ball rookie.
Somehow he was able to convince his wife to come on and play Guild Ball.
Thanks, Alex. His wife, you're the best.
Yeah.
She plays too, so she does have a little bit of sympathy for that. So
she could have came over and played.
Well, she's not that much into it.
No, okay.
She plays it because it's something for us to do together, not because she loves it. Oh. That's all right.
Does she paint?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's usually the arrangement I end up seeing.
No, she's not into really any of the nerd stuff.
The geek stuff?
Yeah. So it's a different world for her. So
that's understandable. Yeah. I mean,
she's from Romania, so it's a different thing.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool. To go off that tangent.
Oh, no, it's okay. The nerdiest thing I have my wife doing is watching horror movies and stuff. So that's kind of the thing that we do a lot of.
It's a lot of fun. Watch horror movies?
Yeah. Horror movies are sweet as hell. You don't like horror for whatever reason, but
well, I mean, there's multiple reasons. I've already gone over them on the Crippled System podcast.
Yeah, no, that's fun.
But I mean, like number one, my parents never let me watch an R-rated film until I was, well, like
I was not 13 before they incorporated PG-13, if I remember correctly.
So it was just that hard PG or R.
But yeah, I couldn't watch anything. I mean, like Gremlins is like one of the first PG-13 films.
Oh, yeah.
That was definitely needed to be PG-13. And that movie gave me nightmares. Like, I slept with the light on, and then I would purposely jump from my bed, you know, to make sure I clear like 3 feet away in case that one of them tried to grab me underneath my bed.
Oh, I was totally scared too. But even like as a kid, I think the first horror movie I saw was at like a party, and it was I can't remember. Remake of like Wes Craven's A New Nightmare, like the Freddy Krueger.
Just New Nightmare?
Yeah, that was, dude, I was five. That was the scariest shit ever. I like left that party, and then like later on, I was like so afraid of horror movies. I saw like a Chucky movie like when I was, I think, in like third grade, and that scared the shit out of me too. And like even to like just recently, I hadn't like watched any of them because they were so scary. And we finally faced my fear like in the past year.
The first one that I watched, I was 14, I watched The Exorcist. I think I watched The Gremlins when I was like younger.
Exorcist is probably still to this day. I mean, even though it's like an, you know, early 70s horror flick, that movie is chilling. It's
it's fantastic. It still holds up even now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and after that, it's kind of like, scary movies, whatever. You know, like, well, you kind of desensitize a little bit. So.
I kind of explain. Like, again, I didn't see movies when I was, horror movies when I was younger. But one that actually stands out, it's probably my favorite story I've told. I don't know if I mentioned it on here. But I figured out how to use the beta player.
Sure.
If any of you know what a beta player is, it shows how old it is. Yeah, it's Betamax. So it's before a VCR.
Sure.
It's actually when VCR, you know, kind of like HD and Blu-ray were going at it. But again, VCR was the one that stood out the test of time. But I figured out how to use the beta player, and it was about maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, and I popped in Conan the Barbarian. And for a child who is not at all acclimated to that type of movie, I saw the entire thing. I got up to the point where my mom woke up and came out of her room and saw me watching the film, and went back in the room, got my dad turned it off right about the time that Arnold Schwarzenegger just got done chopping off James Earl Jones's head.
Spoilers.
Which is for the very end of the freaking film, and then throws his head down the stairs.
Sure.
Yeah. For like the next 2 weeks, every time I closed my eyes, I could see severed heads falling.
Nice.
That's kind of brutal. That's
so
fun.
So that was my childhood. Conan the Barbarian is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Do you still get scared when the head rolls down the stairs?
No. I don't get scared at that anymore.
So I think what you're saying is you're not a Morticians player, right?
I actually do like them. I play Rat Catchers.
The Spooky Boys. Yeah. Awesome.
Kind of going over like my army choices for all the years of all the different games I've played, like Blood Bowl, Champions of Death. I've always loved the undead in Blood Bowl. When I swapped over to Warhammer Fantasy, because that was a nice thing, I played undead.
Yeah.
I played them when they split off into Khemri, when they split off into Vampire Counts. When I got into War Machine, I played Kaedor.
that's pretty cool.
Because I originally wanted to play Krix, but my friend already picked up Krix.
Oh, sure.
So I couldn't play them.
So you got to be his punching bag for the entirety of Mark 1 then?
Kaedor was pretty tough, Mark 1.
He was playing Krix, though, which is just the most OP broken crap ever.
Yeah, I had Karchev with, not Karchev, with Butcher 2, one with,
I know Vlad 2 was also Vlad just 2 the most was broken shit
crazy,
ever.
But Butcher 2... I believe he had one called, it was some kind of explosion one.
Sure.
That basically triggered more explosions, more things that died.
Yep.
So it was a 3-inch AOE that would hit something. If that person died, anything in the 3-inch AOE got hit with it. They exploded, and then it would chain out from there.
Way,
and I just can't remember what the name of the spell was, but it was amazing. It was no longer in Mark II.
No, those like kind of like
unnatural disaster, I think is what it was.
That's kind of fun. Yeah.
Something like that. But then when I swapped over to Gibball, it was, I didn't play Morticians right away just because I was gifted Butchers.
Yeah. So.
And Butchers have been it. But I've been slowly getting into I love the Ratcatchers and adding in some of the characters from the Ratcatchers into from Morticians have been awesome. Like Vet Graves is he is so good with the rats now.
He's so spicy.
Well, just adding that extra two influence to the rats.
Yeah, his heroic nuts,
and then you're at like 15.
Yep.
That's awesome. Ridiculous.
And his book, that stupid knockdown, like they ain't tough, is just disgusting. Yep. Why did they give him that? It's not fair. And he has close control. He's like a 3-2. He's just...
Yeah, the fact that he's a 3-2 now he's as just well. Fantastic.
He's just just a solid beat 'em player, 2-inch reach. Yeah.
When I was playing Falcons against you, and I was like, what? Who am I supposed to attack here? Like, can't attack Scourge. You can't attack Vet Graves. You know, like, I don't know. I shy away from the spooky characters. Like the spooky, I don't like the ghoulish dark themes in games. I'm usually the ones like the good guys, right? Like,
See that's why you took the hunters,
yeah,
ray of light guys, and
yeah,
kinda, yeah. I mean, they I edge towards like them. I think the Masons just more like, you know, in some games I go towards the Tinkers and stuff.
Sure.
But in Engineers, it's too... I like the steampunk stuff, but it's got to have a specific feel to it. I'm not sure. So, so that's... Hunters just seemed good, and it was a good deal, too. That's really why I jumped on it. So, ultimately.
Yeah. I guess... I suppose I always play, like, very, like, dodgy, like, Lith kind of, like, armies. Like, I played Dark Elves, and then into, like, Crics, into, like, Legion... So both like dodgy things, and then a Gilball. I played, started out with fish, but they're just not my speed. I don't like all the high risk.
That's actually what I gravitated towards first when I saw them.
They're
I was
so
like,
pretty.
I played soccer as a kid.
Oh, cool! Yeah,
for like 12. Well, I still kind of do, but so I was like, I'm really into the goal scoring game in general. So when I set my models down, my first instinct is to go for the goal, and that sort of. Hurt today when we played a little bit, so
it was I think it was the right instinct, but yeah. So then I went to fish, and then after that, Brewers for whatever reason, because they were fun and I liked Esters a lot, and that was in season two. And then into Masons, into Morticians, and now playing Alchemists, who are like very evasive and dodgy and don't ever want to fight you and just shoot you in the face with guns.
And that's what they excel at now. They really excel at the ranged game and the condition game, even more so than previously.
Their design choices were just so good. They're like such a blast to play now, and there's so much.
Such a blast.
Yeah, go me.
Wait till next time, though. Now I know what they do. So
we'll be good.
And that's kind of. I mean, you're really a rookie in the game. So
fail fast. That's kind of the motto I'm going for right now. It's like, don't spend too much time thinking about like all the things I could do. Just fail fast. Hopefully that'll.
Yeah, and you're sticking with one team, so I mean
that's a big one,
the best way to really. Once you know the ins and outs of your team and how to function with your team, then you'll be able to start adapting to what you see the opponents doing.
Right.
And then eventually you'll know what everything in the game does.
Yep.
And that you'll be able to, you know, just be able to apply your plan. Is
just reps. That's what it comes down to. Just play as many games as you possibly can. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how I quote unquote got good. So
best player ever, right?
Yeah,
world
no.
star.
Yeah, not quite. I still have a lot to work to do, but I feel like I'm okay. I'm decent.
Also, there was a event in Manitowoc, right?
We've had like a couple, but they haven't been like actual tournaments. They're like more of like the release events.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll get something going soon.
Yeah.
So just because like the way like our stores are kind of like shifting around. So like we opened up like there's a new store in like the adjacent town, like Two Rivers, which is in Manitowoc's already in like the middle of East Jesus nowhere. This is even more so. So then thanks, Andy. So yeah. So then with that, we still have to get like stock for the store and then like get things going there. So
sure. Well, I'm actually from Sheboygan. So
cool. Yeah.
I know that whole area.
Nice.
There. Yeah. Originally.
I'm from Mayville. So
where the heck is that?
Do you know the Horicon Marsh?
Nope.
All right.
No idea.
Yeah. It's between here and Manitowoc. So.
Okay. That's fun.
So, unfortunately, if you're listening here, you notice that we have one missing person.
Jeremy.
Who hasn't been on.
He's dead to me.
Yeah, he wasn't even on the last podcast.
Well, he didn't go to SteamCon, though, so yeah. That's kind of fair, but.
But, yeah, unfortunately, he got stuck with the kids today, so he couldn't make it out, so.
We made this time for him to, like.
Yep.
Well, yep. A monster.
That's fine.
That's okay. Love you anyways, Jeremy.
Yeah. Love you. Miss you. All right. So I don't really have much to talk about. I mean, there's second wind that's happening up. There's the War Machine ATC that's happening. And eventually I'm kind of on the committee for that. I'd like to include something for Guild Ball for the ATC in the future. This year, unfortunately, like previous years, it was just not in the books at the time. Somebody did mention in chat about Guild Ball at the WITC, and I'm thinking that that's probably going to be more doable.
Yeah, I think we could totally make that happen. We just need to like get it scheduled, and then people will come, I think. So,
for those of us that don't know what that is, can you elaborate?
The WITC?
Yeah.
So basically, Wisconsin decided to do its own team championship event. So there's the World Team Championship, which is that's the WTC.
Mm-hmm.
It's generally handled, right now it's been handled overseas. Like last year it was in Warsaw.
Yep, Poland.
It was in Warsaw, Poland.
My homeland.
And then next year is going to be in Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a gathering of teams from all around the world. They're basically invited over there to participate in like a World Cup style event. Yep.
It's generally like the best players from those nations like form a team. And then they have one
Of Guild Ball.
For Guild Ball and War Machine. It started originally as like a War Machine event.
And then it
expanded to Guild Ball
with
the rising popularity of the game. So now it's like both events happening concurrently.
Cool.
Like the same place. It's really big. It's really cool. I definitely want to go sometime.
You should definitely go this year. We should make a team, and then we could ride your coattails to victory.
Okay. No, there's way better players. No, I'm going to get completely smashed. Those Germans are just so damn good from everything I've heard.
Yeah, we can beat them.
You're cute.
We can beat them.
I appreciate.
We can outdrink them. We're from Wisconsin.
I think... I don't know. Timmy will probably give us a run for our money. Yeah. I think he like
Wisconsin.
I think he pees whiskey. So I don't know.
I'm not going to taste that. So
I wouldn't taste it either. But
I mean, who checks that?
Him. He probably just, yeah. But no, anyways, yeah.
Just run it through again. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so there's like a big like committee for setting up the... or like the WTC.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the ATC is like an event created by like Nate. No, I'm sorry. He's some other judge.
Yeah.
Travis Marg and like Dan Wasmer were like the three committee members.
Correct. And the ATC is basically, they're trying to make it so it's similar to the WTC, but it's more of a just an America's team championship.
Okay.
Yep. So it's just North and South America trying to gather as many teams as they can get for it. Yep. Right now, I mean, that's going on. That's January.
Yeah.
And I believe that there are about 22, 23 teams in it right now.
And that's still, and normally that's always like up to the wire for like teams that show up. And it's like 5-man teams, and then they play like best of 5. And then from there, like the best American team is going to go to the WTC and play that representing the United States.
Okay.
And then the WITC is just like a smaller Wisconsin
version of that.
And so we're doing, it's like regionally, but.
Go up.
There's people coming from all over.
So is it like something where you're going to pick like the 5 people that would go or something like that? Or?
For the WITC, no.
It's just whatever team you form with.
Okay.
Like whatever.
Yeah. So it's
and it's a smaller format. Yeah. It's only
it's 3-man for this one. Yeah.
Okay.
So just makes it a little bit easier for folks to form a team.
And when is that supposed to be?
That is usually around August, September.
Oh, okay. So quite a ways.
Quite a ways from now.
The one I went to was in July. So, or like the first one I think was in July and then August and then now it just keeps getting pushed back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, definitely for this year, I'm going to try to head up and make sure that we get a Guild Ball event there this year. So for the WITC.
I mean, team Guild Ball events are pretty popular, even like in the South or whatever, they're like filling them up and wherever else, like in the Northeast, those like always fill up. So I think if you build it, they will come and like people will fly out, especially in summer too.
Yeah.
So
I mean, our meta is increasing for, I don't know how many like actual tournament players that we have for that will be ready to go out. I'm sure we could probably get Alex to go out to events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Jeff is going to, he never plays tournaments. Sure. He doesn't play that. No, he just doesn't he's, like seems that casual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a very casual, good player though too. He's
yeah.
getting very smart with yeah. his freaking alchemist or his engineers. Yeah. Oh God. All right. So I guess we could probably we had like a made a post yesterday and just have like a slew of questions.
Sweet, sweet Facebook questions.
Yeah,
we're asking the you guys. We want to know what you think.
Yeah,
which, except for Dan White, I guess we'll kind of do what you say. But
well, there's like yeah. 50 million questions in here from Dan White, who's on a different podcast.
Enemy of the show.
Enemy of the show. Yeah. Mortal enemy of the show.
Well, mortal enemy of me more than anything else, but that's okay.
Just mortal enemy to you?
Yeah, well,
you own Iowa. I mean, that
yes, I am champion of Iowa, so I guess that's fine.
Something you didn't know. So are you familiar with Longshanks?
A little bit. They're out in New Jersey, something like that. Like
it's just the whole. It's a tracking website that you can keep track of like your records and such.
Yep.
So Johnny, I think went to a tournament down in Iowa.
Yeah, it was like like one of the earlier MomCons. Was like Zach Stein was running it, and he put me as an Iowa player, even though I was from Wisconsin.
Okay.
And then I just got stayed in there, and I never thought to change it. So then, as I was like ranking up or whatever, and getting higher in the ranks, the Iowa people were like, who the fuck is this Johnny Pastrami guy? it was pretty great, yeah. So there's just talks about it, and then they finally figured it out. Yeah. And then now since then I've been the scourge of Iowa, I guess.
I wouldn't say scourge. Well,
anytime they play against me, it seems like I just smash them into the ground. Except for Mike. Mike always puts up a hell of a game, and that's always a blast. But that Dan White guy, he's a chump.
He is a chump.
Just kidding, Dan.
Dan. I love you. You're much bigger than me. You'll kill me.
Well, I'll fight you in real life, but you'll probably win, but I don't care.
I'm a scrapper.
Yeah.
So the first question that was on here, it was came from Mr. White. Why is Johnny forsaken Mortz now that Scalpel is OP?
So, well, first off, Scalpel's not OP now. I actually think she lost quite a bit in like the edition change with like my personal playstyle. Like before, she was secret OP that nobody else realized except for me for whatever reason. And there's a reason I was like smashing most people with her was because of that. Like her losing the momentous like push dodge mm-hmm. on and like damage as well on like 3, which is like pretty much guaranteed result, is like such a huge hit to her. And now that she like lost that, now she has like the 2-inch to like manipulate other players, mm-hmm. which is fine. But she doesn't have like the same kind of like individual control. Losing Puppet String? No, it wasn't Puppet Strings. Tormented Agni. Her losing that was also a big hit too, because with not being able to like control influence also hurts her. She can still like push. She still has the pushes and stuff, so she can still like move people. So she's fine, but she doesn't have the same disengage either. And being able to like jail somebody and like kill somebody, like knock them down low, bring them to like the top of the next turn, and then kill them immediately. She lost a little of that like potential.
Although. I mean, for a while there, she seemed like a poor man's Morty Fillet.
Kind of. Well, she was like, I think she was on par with Fillet. She did like a lot of like the same stuff.
Or I'm sorry, as the English call her Fillet.
Fillet, yeah. So, but no, I think like she did a similar game plan to that because she still wanted the tooled up. She still moved in, mm-hmm. but she had better tools to do that same game plan
sure.
with like Midnight Offering, allowing you to like reposition her mid-turn. Mm-hmm. Which she still has that now, but so I guess she's still close to like what she did. But for me, it's just she lost a little bit, and like her counterattack is absolute trash now. Mm-hmm. She does nothing if she gets like on, whereas before she was very squirrely and could do stuff. So I guess that's to sum it up is why. And alchemists are just so much goddamn fun. So maybe that's it too. I just needed a break. So yeah, there you go, Dan. All right, our next question. Andy, you are a casual GB player, yet Lance... Oh my God, I'm terrible at reading stuff out loud. So yeah, like Lance...
So don't give it to me.
So like Lance, you have a tendency to stress out about tournaments mm-hmm. and sometimes avoid competitive events because of this. Other than winning more games, what is one thing that you would like your tournament experience more enjoyable and less stressful?
Okay, so probably to sum that up is like what... Basically I stress out about events. I don't like confrontation And generally, when I don't know what's going on, I see that as kind of a form of confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't know, because like I'm basically relying on my opponent to tell me, you know, like, oh, that's what this character does.
Yep.
And I want to confirm it. And it feels like I'm
confronting
them, like on their action.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't like that feeling when I get in that situation.
So I would just want to mention, because I'm kind of similar to that, like mm-hmm. just being new, like to the whole measuring thing. Like that's my biggest thing, is I'm not sure. Like I noticed today, Johnny, mm-hmm. you just kind of moved a model, and I was like, I'm okay with that. But like sure. when I'm moving the models around, I feel really weird about it. Like someone's going to like call me out on stuff like that.
Sure.
And it's that level of confrontation that I mm-hmm. also fear. Yep. And it kind of like ruins the game over time for me, kind of, not really, but a little bit. And so, yeah, I kind of identify with that too. So I'm a little nervous about like going to an event. That's kind of why I want to go to this one, just to see how that feels.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. And get an idea of that so that I have that solidified for the future.
Yeah. The other thing, yeah, that makes sense. For me, it's really more so the confrontation part is really what gets me.
So it's like, how do you get over that? You know, like how do you make it still fun without that, you know, like make it casual with the other player.
Feeling absolutely comfortable with my team and yeah. what my opponent's team is doing.
Yeah.
Like eventually I'll feel okay with playing against Johnny.
Yeah.
But it's also, yeah, it's really a confidence thing, though, too. It's like I don't feel confident enough to sit down, and I don't feel like I would be able to give Johnny a good game, even though we've had
mm-hmm.
pretty yeah. decent we've games. We've had
good
games,
yeah, when we play. Like, every time it's a good time. And like,
Is it maybe so, because season four is, like, new?
No, or
is it
he's just always not been like this.
I've always been like this.
Okay. Even in, like, War Machine 2, like, because we played a couple games as well, and you still had... It was pretty much the same thing, yeah.
I avoid that conflict. I don't... I like Brian Giese and I, we would play, I mean, we both got into Warhammer right around the same time. And I just flat out didn't play against him.
Mm-hmm.
It's also maybe because of the friend thing too. Cause I feel that, you know, that something might happen in the game that we both end up getting into an argument or something like that. And I don't want to have to deal with that. I'd much rather keep the friendliness going, but sometimes it's hard for me to put that into the game setting itself.
It's really yeah. weird to me, like, again, not coming from miniature wargaming, the measurement thing and like the etiquette there is just really strange for me. Like,
sure.
Coming from like games like D&D where everything's like
grid based,
like there's no question in that kind of right. stuff. Whereas like, oh, you bumped a model like three turns ago and now it's close enough that I can measure in. And it's like, well, yeah, but, and then there's a confrontation there,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
you can't, there's no like definitive answer, right? Unless there's a judge sitting there like telling you whether you can or can't.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing about Guild Ball, though, at least, is that you can measure everything out
mm-hmm.
all
that's awesome.
The time. Yeah. So
it's like you confirm with your opponent and be exactly, like, yeah, yep. definitely can.
Yep,
do that.
You should always like, if you ever have like a question about like where is something, like where is a position, just ask.
Yeah.
Like if they're not gonna like get offended by it, like for me or whatever, like because like sometimes like with me, like I've like I know like a lot of like the positions and stuff and like I can just like eyeball it.
Yeah.
And generally it's like pretty close. Like when I put like smoke or whatever, I had like already like measured that.
Yeah.
And you asked, you didn't see me like measure it, but I had already measured it. And then you checked, it was totally cool. And then boom, it was perfectly in range. It was exactly where it was supposed to be. So.
Yeah. And I'm most of the time, I feel like it's checking for me. Like,
sure.
So you know, can, right. I know, you know,
see, and that's
but
like,
I need to know.
Yep. And that's like something that I can work on too, is like, making sure my opponent knows exactly what I'm doing.
And I think that's like, that's why the tokens exist.
That's
why
the proxy base. Yes. That's why I use those for every like time measurement. Every time you're moving,
it's
anything
not for
close.
You. It's for your opponent
exactly.
to understand what you're doing.
Yes. And that's why they're so great.
Yeah, definitely.
You should definitely pick up a set of those. They are super helpful. They are the best thing that you can have. Is like,
oh, I'm getting, I got a bunch of those guild ball measurement ones from Muzan. From the Black Friday,
nice,
like 750 or something score. So super good.
Use those, like just make those your best friend. Like just get used to using them. They're fantastic.
So much better than tape measures.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fuck those stupid things.
I mean, I used to not care about those the proxies and the measurements, but in a game where you're only running around with, you know, six models, possibly seven or eight, it's so much nicer.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. It's in a game like War Machine, it's not feasible to actually precisely measure out your entire unit moving up the field.
Because you're playing with like 50 models generally, correct. Which is just too fucking much.
Yep. But as compared to Guild Ball, I mean, it's a game that you can keep everything very precise.
Well, and the other thing is, like, something that I haven't played with is the clock, right? Yeah. So, like, if I'm trying to explain to my opponent every move I'm doing while I'm on the clock, it kind of goes against, you know, the clock. Yeah. And so, like, if I'm the player that's moving my character around, I don't care about you. I'm against you. So why should I have to tell you what I'm doing? And so it's like, it's naturally opposing, right? So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. That's kind of why I don't like playing in tournaments still, because
is
the clock. I'm not comfortable enough with my own play that I feel like I can play at a good enough level,
sure,
with the clock.
Well, and I've kind of identified that, like, you have to have a game plan, mm-hmm, going in.
It
and
helps,
it might, yeah, shift, mm-hmm, but as long as you kind of can still stick to that within some reason, you're just doing what you're trying to do during that turn. And that saves you some time, as opposed, yep, to like, oh, now I'm going to change my game plan mid turn, and that's not going to work, right?
Yep.
In a clock system, so you just take, you know, you take what's bad from that, right? Like, you,
yeah,
screw, yep, up, and then you just,
well,
oh well.
I consider myself. I have been playing the game for a little over a year now.
Yeah, it's been. Has it? I think it's been longer than that.
That's it. And you have everything.
Because we first played our first game back at like the WITC, we got a buy or whatever, and then like Davis and Ethan gave me like daggers the whole time we were playing our game. So I think that was like one of your earlier games, and that was like,
yeah,
a couple of years ago, like 2 years, like a year and a half now,
yeah,
something like that.
Well, I started at Gen Con of 2017. That was basically my first game.
Okay, yep, and that was right after that Gen Con.
Yeah,
because the WITC was like 2 weeks after or something,
yep,
shit like something that. Like,
yep, okay. Yep. I was just in the process of gathering up my like seven of 11 guilds at that time.
Yeah,
because I'm insane. And also, I guess probably what hurts me during during tournament games is I feel like I'm still learning, and learning on the clock sucks.
It can, yeah. I think, yeah.
And now that we're starting to get a meta,
mm-hmm, yeah,
in Madison, I mean, we have at least two, three games going
now. Yeah, which is fantastic.
Which,
yeah,
is pretty great. Awesome compared to it was just Jeremy and I
right,
for the,
yeah,
longest time. Now Jeremy doesn't even show up anymore. Like, yeah, like this podcast, too.
I was just shaking my head. He's a monster.
So,
but no, I think like for getting used to the clock, playing on the clock is the best way to get used to it.
Yeah.
It's scary at first, but
I've been thinking about trying it out.
See, I was thinking, like, I even brought my clock for us to play on or whatever,
yeah,
today.
I'm not, like I said, I'm not quite there yet, yeah, but yeah.
Just dive into it. Just do it. And even if you clock out, who gives a shit? Then it's just like points per activation then, and, yeah, still just run.
Well,
like, the
and
full,
it goes with
whatever.
What I was saying before, where you just play,
yeah,
and fail fast. And, yep, then you get as many rounds as mm-hmm, you can and just see what happens. And, like, you're just going to crush me because you know. Like,
it's fine, though. But, like, you'll learn from those mistakes, though, and just get, right, better and better. You'll stop making those same
mistakes.
I'll
get really good at jogging my players in from the sideline.
That's a skill to have. Like, doing that quick, like, every little thing that you can get better at is a good skill to have in the,
right,
game. So even if it, like, feels like you're not getting anywhere, you are. Like, even, like, positioning your players on the side, allocating quickly, and positioning them where you need to, like on the fly, real quick, under that time limit, is a great skill to have.
Yeah, I know. I was watching some of the SteamCon videos of hunters playing.
Oh, at Worlds, yeah.
Yeah, the confrontational game, I think, with where the clock ran down, and then, like, anyway, it was like blacksmiths and hunters, and the announcers were talking about, like, it's gone.
oh,
the 2-inch melee. The guy, the hunter, didn't take any 2-inch melee, and they were talking about how, like, important it is, like, trap players by the 2-inch melee.
Yep, and you, mm-hmm, can, like,
so, like,
pin them in, yeah.
And that, like, made me think about this game that we played just,
yeah,
now.
And, like, your positioning was, like, so perfect. Like, you precisely put Minerva right next to the bear, so I couldn't, like,
that four inch range right there or whatever, or like 3 inch range between. So
you were so perfectly precise, and like that was just like something you like naturally just had like the instinct to do, which is fantastic. Having those instincts is just at this point is just outstanding.
Yeah.
So
I'm a casual spike.
Yeah, that's true. You're going to like quickly like become a non-casual spike and start being a competitive player, which is great. Yeah.
That's always the goal.
Yeah.
Be the best there ever was.
Yeah.
Catch all the mons.
Internet points are very important in this game, so they matter, man. So next question. I think
all I learn is I have to learn everything from new games and apply those to new games and actually play Johnny once in a while.
Well, let's go into it with less of a like an aggressive mindset too.
The weird thing though is I remember specifically when I went down to Chicago and it was, I don't think it was anybody else was there. It was like Ben Lang was the only person that I really knew there.
Mm-hmm.
I also knew Jordan, but it was a small like 16 man tournament. And
I think I was there for that one.
Yeah. And that was the one where you gave away everything.
Yeah, I was there for that, yeah.
No, it was the one before that. But anyway,
okay, sure.
But yeah. But it just I played well. I mean I just jumped in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helps if maybe it's also I don't want people to look at me bad too, maybe. I worry too much about everything.
Sure. The worst thing that is going to happen is you're going to lose, and then you had a good time. Rats.
I kind of think of the one, I forget what it's called, but down in Chicago that's coming up.
The second wind?
Second wind. I'm thinking of that more as a networking opportunity and an opportunity to like really learn fast.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly, yeah.
Tournaments are the quickest way to learn the game.
Yeah, right. Because the players I'm playing are going to be like, don't do that and do this and whatever. Mm-hmm. You know,
like, yeah, they'll like happily like, especially like after you like if you like lose round one, after that, the games get like so like casual and fun.
Right.
Because nobody really cares anymore because they're out of contention for like the higher places.
Yeah.
So, and then it'll just be like a fun experience where you get to like hang out with sweet dudes is pretty much what it comes out down to be.
Or dudettes.
Or dudettes, yes. Dudes is a universal term.
I know you're using dudes as a universal term.
Everything is a dude. That bottle of Soliage is a dude. My can of soda is a dude. You're a dude. I'm a dude. My wife is a dude. I call Lacey a dude all of the time.
Whoa.
Okay.
So everything is a dude.
Maybe you should stop that.
No, you stop. No. But yeah.
All right. So Jeremy's not here, so we're going to skip his question. He was just basically talking about with Midas and that, and I mean, you could probably talk about Midas and that, but we're not going to talk about that.
I've not played a game of Midas yet because
this is Jeremy's
crap.
So what happened to Ethan?
Ethan's just casual. He was there at SeamCon with us, and he's not here today. So he's still alive. He's doing okay.
Yeah, Ethan. Honestly, I mean, he's been involved with he's been doing a lot of blog posts and that. We've been reposting him with Concussion, but. He's actually only been on the podcast once.
Yeah, he was just on the one. And then I know he always gets mentioned in episodes because he's my local who I play the most games with. So,
yeah, you guys are the best buds. Like Jeremy and Andy and Ethan and John. Pastrami,
Johnny, yeah, whatever. Yeah. No, he's good though. He's doing all right. We played a game just like last week. I ended up playing like the weird union list into him and he played like Butchers for the first time. So he made a mistake and got punished, but... Other than that, though, it was a fun game. It was a good time.
He's he's working on a doctorate right now for
the Doctor of Beats. Yeah.
So he's going. He's in college right now, working on music.
Yep.
So
here at the university and
he's at UWGB.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, he lives over by me. So
all right.
Yeah,
he's an awesome guy. Yeah,
he's a cool dude. Yeah,
I wish I do like. If you ever are in a convention and I say you should move to Madison, that means I like you a lot and I want you around via all the time.
Why, Andy? That's so sweet of you.
Because I asked Johnny to move over to our area all the freaking time.
Yeah, it's pretty much like once every time I see you, generally.
Yeah.
I get that question.
So when are you moving to Madison?
Yeah, why isn't that
happening?
You
bought your house.
We just bought a freaking house. We're not going to sell that.
Just flip it.
We got roots.
No, well, you can pull up those roots and you can flip the house. And you can move to Verona.
No. I don't know if Lacey will let that fly.
What does Lacey do?
She's a nurse.
Yeah, there's tons of places around here. You can be a nurse
anywhere. Come on.
There's an old person place right across the street.
Nursing homes are not her game. She's not a fan.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, but this is like one of the biggest medical colleges in, you know.
Yeah.
Feels like a big opportunity.
You don't have to sell me to move. You have to sell her. Go talk to her. There's Epic down the road, too.
Oh, yeah.
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 All that stuff.
No, I mean. All right, so when are we going to have time with Lacey to help convince her?
Well, you could have had some time at our wedding.
I had to work.
I know, it's okay.
So I feel really bad.
It's honestly fine.
By the time I got done with work, it was about 5 o'clock.
Sure.
Hey, if it's any consolation, I would have been there if I had known.
Oh, well, that's sweet
if
of you.
If you'd known you.
So, all right, next question.
All right, yeah, so yeah, he's being the doctor of beats. Is Vitriol worth playing in a world where Crucible exists?
Yes, I definitely think... I like Vitriol quite a bit, like especially if I'm kicking. I enjoy using her for like kick pressure in some matchups.
Mm-hmm.
Because like she can get like a free character play off a flask, and generally you just like... It's not like the immediate like charge in. You just like set her up and just kind of force that. And even if she charges in, gets a couple momentum.
But Crucible's got balls of fire.
It's a lot of times all it's... It's so hard to like position her where she's like safe and also able to like get the ball and use that.
That's true.
Because she's so squishy. She's like a 4-0 with like 13 HP, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So she just dies if you can like get any kind of pressure on her. And being close range, after being within 4 inches to get the ball, you're kind of close. So I don't know. I think Vitriol is still fantastic. She's definitely like one of the nastiest like goal threats as well.
I mean, the Alchemists really have a hard time choosing a full roster to take with them. I feel almost all of them are good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both mascots are outstanding. Mascots.
Yeah,
one captain's really good. Yeah, that's
you don't like Midas?
I haven't played him yet. I just feel like he's a worse smoke in like most ways. He doesn't fight. He doesn't have like his own unique identity. Mm-hmm. Where smoke has like random 21 inch goal threat just out of nowhere that's non-linear, which is disgusting. And then he has like an 18 inch goal threat, which is kind of milquetoast. You can put out some conditions. Woo! Smoke does that too for free, and then she can also move around and get everywhere. He's like a lost little puppy, and I don't know,
poor guy.
Maybe he'll get some teeth in like an errata or something and become like the kind of like condition skirmishing captain, which I think is what he should be. Instead of sad, bad goal scorer.
Yeah, that is a little strange, just kind of thinking on it. It's like you'd want like one kick heavy captain and sort of one scrum kind of captain.
Yeah, exactly. And he just doesn't offer that. And like his playbook is not conducive to any of that either. I don't know. He just feels like a weaker smoke, like pretty much across the board. So...
That's how we accidentally got our Midas talk.
Yeah, because
we were just saying, no, we can't have Midas talk, and then Midas talk
feels like it's inevitable. Yeah, you know, at that
inevitable.
Point.
Oh no, I think he does have like his place in some matchups. I think against like farmers, you probably want to be goal scoring, and against butchers, I feel great with smoking to them. I think she's the bee's knees because they're like a squishy damage guild versus a squishy damage guild, except you have better guns. So you can like play the range game and just skirmish a little better.
Yeah. So. I mean, there's some extra health in there. I mean, the issue is, though, is that alchemists actually punish people for getting close to them as well.
Well, now they do. Now that they have like Venom and like Ocat and Avarice and Greed, if you take them.
Yeah.
Well, Midas isn't as squishy as is Smoke, is he?
He's a 5-0 with like 14 boxes, so he dies just as fast as her. She's actually thicker. I think she has like 16 boxes.
And with her utility, it just doesn't make sense.
And she has a teleport.
Right.
One influence, 8-inch teleport.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
I don't know. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. All right, next question.
Mike asks, Concussion is one of my favorite character plays in Guild Ball. Should be your favorite podcast too.
Well,
he has it was implied.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Just stealing their influence will make a momentum feels awesome. What are your favorite plays in season 4? It's a character play is probably one of my favorite ones because it's just the repositioning. It's only on 2 hits, which is generally pretty possible. Dreadful Shriek.
Oh, that one is a lot of fun. Yeah.
On Squeak, just being able to reposition your opponent's character into worse positions.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and it's only on two hits. And it's momentous, which works out fairly well.
For me, I think it's, I guess, like through the Alchemist lens, I really like Fireball on Mercury. I think that's such a cool ability where it just like punches somebody and he's just like, pew, you're on fire and take damage.
Yeah.
It's sweet. And then like Smoke's like new Chemical Breeze, I think just like mechanically it works so well. It's so much cleaner than like moving the AoEs and stuff around.
Well, so. I think now how you move AoEs is much better as
and
well,
just too. Positioning them too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like down. It's very clean and easy to like position them. Yeah. And then like for Morticians, I think Scatter on Vile Swarm thematically is like my favorite play in like the game. He just, it's like you place him within an inch of where he currently is.
Okay.
And it's not completely within, so you can teleport him like 2.5 inches. Effectively, if you go from like side of base to like side of base on the other side and flip them over, so the rats can always get free, they can always do whatever. And it's just like this giant pile of rats is just swarming on somebody, and then they just scatter and they're all gone and rematerialize. So, I guess those are mine. I also like Concussion a lot too, the play is baller.
It is really awesome when you actually get that off onto somebody who hasn't activated yet.
Yeah.
Because it just takes away their activation.
Yeah, Ethan did that to me, and he like knocked 3 influence off a stupid black card. It was like so rude.
It was, I assume, with Boar then.
Or... Yeah, he was playing Boar in that game. But yeah, I was just like, you're such a dick. What about you, Alex?
So with my limited scope, probably one of the ones I've enjoyed the most so far is... The Falcon's Divana's Harrier plus charge, basically, right?
Oh, yeah.
The like from above thing.
Yeah. Regardless of what my like Harrier, I don't care for Harrier all that much. That ability by itself makes that whole thing worth it. Yeah. But the rest of the team doesn't really. Well, we can, yeah.
Well, it's a charge for just an influence. Which is, and generally you should have Harriers out there, but from other players.
So you can get like almost like 3 free charges a turn that can't be reacted upon because you can't defensive stance it either.
Right.
Which is outstanding.
Which is just amazing. Like, but it's just that there's all that power that's in her specifically, which makes it like she's a really hard, you know, she'll go down because you want to focus her because she's the one that's going to kill your guys, right? She draws a lot of aggro, right?
Exactly, yeah.
But her character play, that play, or I guess it's
trait ability,
yeah, is very, very powerful. The fun one that I like is Skatha's little drop a fast ground. That's helps immensely for everything.
How big is the fast ground?
Is it 3 inch?
Oh, it is a three inch,
and they like boom, and then everybody bear goes two faster. Like everybody just goes faster.
I guess I haven't even looked at Skatha at all.
Well, she's
by far my favorite model. No, just 100%.
He tapped. I know. Yeah, I saw it. I saw it. He tapped on the table. I'm
sorry,
I was joking about doing that before. Don't do that shit.
I was just so excited.
No, it's
that's usually totally. What happens.
Everybody's excited. So pumped. Yeah.
No, but yeah, that little three inch. Everybody gets faster around is just so good.
Mm-hmm. And you can abuse it with like Midnight everything. Offering and yeah.
everything.
Get two of those per model. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Yeah. And it's basically like if you put it right in the right spot, it's everybody on your team gets +2 to their move. So all you gotta do is like clip it a little bit and go.
Does that affect opponents or is it just you?
Everyone. It affects your opponents too. Okay. Yeah.
No, but yeah, if you position it in a place where they can't really deal with it, right? Because you put it right at their base.
I conveniently enough placed it behind all my teams and you can't get to it. Oh man, you can't use it.
It would actually be really cool if it was friendly players.
Oh, that's kind of cute because it's like a giant patch of ice and you said pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah.
But it would be neat if it was friendly players get +2 movement, enemy players treat it as rough terrain.
That'd be pretty cool. Awesome. Yeah, that'd be a good ability.
I mean, that's kind of how Theron's forest works ish, right?
Because most people have some type of Fleetfoot.
Yeah,
I would
lightfooted.
Think
lightfooted. Yeah,
yeah, I would think that at the very least the other team wouldn't get the benefit for something, or like they slip and fall and get knocked down.
Yeah,
that's what it should be.
No, stop it. Too good.
All right, next question is Stu asks, "How do I alchemist good? Is AoEs and fires, if your characters have them, play them because they'll do good.
Don't ever engage them, and the only model you give them to like let fight is Venon because he's a 4/2 and doesn't die.
4/2 is such a baller.
Yeah, he's just sad. Yeah, he's just
and I guess keep him in range of compound because."
Yeah, and like, yeah, and just generally like be safe. You don't want to like engage and go fight them. You want to make them come into you, make them come into like the compound bubble. Only give them like Venon as like the model to fight, or like Vet Cat, if, or not Vet Cat, regular Cat, if that's who you want to engage with. And then like bridging from turn to turn with Smoke going last and getting like momentum and winning the race off of her is such like a nasty thing. Because like in our game,
yeah, that was the terrible. Way,
yeah, well, you forced me into it, but I like had to go for like a coin.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Well, I like had to go for like a coin flip kill on Skatha, and I ended up hitting like the coin flip or whatever. But if I hadn't, I would have been like pretty rough spot. You would have had to go all the bear would have been
it's
up in
totally,
my chili.
It's a total momentum shift one way or the other.
Yeah,
is but, all it came down to
exactly. But yeah, no, like with what she can do is she can like spread a bunch of damage. She can like shoot like a gun or two like turn one. And then through that, you can put that damage on. The turn goes, you get like that more damage. And then with her legendary and like infuses, she can generally like kill a player like who's a little squishier, like around like the 14, 12 HP range. They pretty much die guaranteed. And then once they're down, you can use that to like chain into more kills through like getting that or like legendarying.
Oh, yeah. So you make her go last. So you stack up a bunch of stuff. I can't do anything about it. You get the first turn next time and then...
And then they just evaporate.
And
like
you basically
that.
Do the same thing again, and then everybody's done.
Or if you like don't have like the enough like punch to like kill them, you can just back her off instead of like where like I like used all my stuff, but if I like had failed, I would have just teleported her away, and then she would have been safe. So that's kind of like you just need to play her very like aggressively. Kicking with her is, I think, the way to go. Kicking in general, I think, is good. His last activation and being able to like. Chain two activations in a row, especially with like some deadly characters like Vet Cinder does that. So and like a lot of like the Butcher, the one but like Scalpel does that really well, and then like Filet and a lot of the other Hammer I think does that too. So being able to do that with kicking is pretty big, and that's kind of how you have to play her. She just does into it in punching. She does it with her short range death gun. So
all right, we need to hurry up here, so because we do not have much more time because we usually only record about an hour.
If we go over a couple minutes, yeah, that's okay.
So quickly, brewers, farmers, engineers, paint one, play one, dumpster.
Ooh, I think I would dumpster the engineers. I would play the farmers and I'd paint the brewers.
That's honestly probably, I would probably, I think I would play the brewers, paint the farmers and dumpster the engineers.
Poor NGs.
I was hoping that everyone else would dumpster a different team, then I would just go get them from the dumpster.
I would probably paint the engineers and dump. What was the other one?
Farmers and brewers.
I would probably dump the brewers and play with the farmers.
Sweet. There's a lot of awesome conversion things that you could do with the farmers, though. But you're not painting them. You're painting the engineers.
Yeah.
Good luck assembling them.
No, I'm not. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say
that. Or whatever. They're not too bad. Colossus was just a nightmare to assemble, but other than that.
No, Pin Vice is the worst.
Oh, like pinning those stupid arms is.
Yeah. I knocked one of Jeff's arms off. Mm. A dice went flying. Arm fell off.
Jeff doesn't pin, that's why.
Felt so bad.
My stuff is actually built to withstand other players. Like I own every single caster for War Machine.
Yeah.
Which is well over 200 casters. And I've had two models break. One, it was one that I didn't own. Somebody that was lending to me for an event. And the other one was a horrible, horrible mistake that I've told before on the Crippled System podcast. Somebody had, Chris Suri, who is an amazing painter, painted up a Lord Carver for me.
Mm-hmm.
And some guy at Adepticon dropped, he had him on the side of his mini tray, dropped him, and then kicked him.
Oh no!
Off the tray.
Poor Carver.
Yeah. Oh jeez.
And this is painted by like a grandmaster. Like this guy would get hundreds of dollars for just painting a single miniature for
Wow.
So he's a good friend. He did me a favor, and then the guy came walking back to me at the table and says, "I dropped your Lord Carver. I don't know where he is."
No.
Like, I don't know. Priorities would be, if I was in that situation, I would be finding the miniature and then bringing the broken miniature back to you saying something happened. And then,
exactly.
And then there's nothing I could do at the time. I would just be sad and, you know, a little bit angry, but it would be like, oh, but no, that guy just walked up to me and said, "I don't know where he is. Burp, burp. Sorry."
Yeah.
And then,
social etiquette.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Especially using other people's stuff.
Yep. So, but that's, I pin well. I will teach you how to pin.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. All right. So Zippity Grumble. But this is the wrong game. Wrong podcast.
Zippity Grumble.
Yeah. No. veteran Captain Salt. Great captain or greatest captain? I would say Salt is an amazing captain, but he's an illegal captain.
Yeah. He's not legal.
He's not legal.
Get him out of here.
Yeah. Out. Out. Not, I'm not even talking in a pirate voice with that.
Too. Does he count as a mascot too?
No.
He's a captain. He's a captain. Have you seen veteran captain?
I haven't seen his card. No.
Oh, I've got it. I'll show it to you.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an April Fool's.
Oh yeah.
Character. Mm-hmm. So
it's not. He's just, something you can play with.
No,
you can use him as like the salt model, but you can't.
Oh yeah. Okay.
You can't use the card. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You might be able to get away with convincing a TO to play in like friendly events or something like that, like a casual event.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's only ever meant for casual.
Okay.
Yeah. He will be in Build-A-Guild, by the way.
Oh, good God.
He'll be on the wheel for Build-A-Guild. Oh, well, I forgot to mention that. Adepticon, Build-A-Guild. Be there. It's going to be awesome. Nice. It's going to be on Sunday. It's built on the standard, like, who's the boss. So it's going to be built kind of like Snake Draft, except for all the models are going to be on a giant wheel. You're going to spin the wheel 6 times, and that's going to be your guild.
I like it.
Yeah. So you're gonna say, "I want a captain." So the closest that the wheel gets to a captain, that's your captain. I want a mascot. The closest the wheel gets to a mascot, it's going to be your mascot. And then the rest are going to be squatties. And then there's going to be a whole bunch of special play cards that you're going to play for each round. You're going to get points by doing other things other than even sometimes you might not actually win by scoring all the goals.
Whoa. It's crazy.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be fully casual. It's going to be great. It's going to be on Sunday. Only 16 people. Sign up for it. All right.
Anyway. Okay.
Guild Ball WITC, we already discussed that. So I'm not sure why it's a laughing, crying face that Richard posted, but I think we're going to try to see if we can get it going this year.
I think he's hopefully pessimistic about it happening, maybe. I don't know. Maybe
well, he wants it. The last time we tried it, it didn't work out because we just didn't have enough teams.
Sure.
And making like a team travel from North Carolina for like a 3-round event.
Yeah, like a four-man tournament or like 4-team tournaments rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We'll try. We'll see if we can plan something.
All right. Sometimes what looks really good on good or bad on paper is very different than actually playing it. What are your biggest surprises for season 4 where something was a lot different than when you actually played it versus your expectations? I would say, is a quick from my own personal examples is playing with Vec Graves and Rat Catchers. I replaced Scalpel with, not Scalpel, but replaced
Collage?
Uh-huh.
No.
No, what's the limited edition miniature?
Is it not Skulk?
Skulk.
Skulk. That's
it. Okay. Ha! We replaced Skulk with him, and man, he just, as compared to what he was before, where he was just a addition, extra VP guy, potentially. I felt he was a very good loner on the team, and was very good with Squeak.
He's a strong control piece too, yeah.
Yeah, just made Squeak so much nicer. Where, I don't allocate the Squeak and I just, spend a momentum and wow, Squeak has got 2. And then he's
big body,
causing issues.
Threat range. It's
yep. The 2-inch melee works terrible. Really well on him. So,
I think for me, it's original rage and not new Fangtooth, but like original Fangtooth. I think those two now are just fantastic models and you should honestly give them a try.
Fangtooth is beautiful. I miss him.
The big old stinky man. Yeah, no, he's great. Like, the new aura is just fantastic. Now you don't have to worry about it. He's still, like, just as tanky and thick as before. He's, like, better defensive, too, because he's, like, a 3-1 now. Bloodmass is incredible. He's a total ass beater who has, like, unmasking on, like, a really reasonable number of hits. And then, yeah, so he's just great. Play him. And then Regular Rage can get buffs now from his team. Regular Rage can get buffs from his team. I need to repeat that because that's how crazy it is. Getting things like Singled Out, Butchery.
Yeah, Rage was always just a really, literally a loner player.
Yeah, he was super like effective for what he did. But now that he gets support, he's crazy. So give him like those two, Hemlock and Harry the Hat, and like a Blackheart team with Coin is a crazy lineup. You should give it a whirl. Do it. Make it happen.
And no matter how much you want to, Regular Rage can't kill Coin. And
Blackheart. He can't kill them, no.
Can't kill them. But they work really well as a team.
Yeah, well, they were a good team until he went batshit insane and murdered them. So, but yeah, those are my underrated picks that you should do it. Make it happen.
Sure.
I don't have any context. I started in season 4. So besides the shout out to Vincent Kirkov, I believe.
Yeah.
So I've been watching his videos and that's very helpful. I really like to see that kind of thing what's different.
He was the one that was on our last podcast that we had to try to compensate
He's like running the event.
Yeah, he's part of the Second Wind committee, I guess, whatever.
It's like he said it was his baby, so.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you that's who you would need to contact to see if you can get on the waiting list for it, is Vince.
They're like celebrities to me. It's crazy.
I play League of Legends with that dude like almost every week. It's a great time. Yeah.
Yeah, Vince is really nice. I know him when he was back doing stuff for Anvil 8, I believe.
Anvil 8.
I thought he was doing stuff for Game Company.
He was like a big Malifaux.
Yeah,
beforehand.
I could have sworn he was doing something for the game that's downstairs. It's up on my shelf.
It's possible. I have no idea. It's possible.
Ethereum, I think it was.
Okay.
But I may be thinking of somebody different. I hope not.
Yeah.
The last one here is, what are you most excited for season 4 right now? Any models, strats that you can wait to play on the table? That's pretty much kind of what Aaron had mentioned just before.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to mention, I did play a team that wasn't Beatty.
What the hell?
I played the Order.
Oh, nice. How'd that go?
It was a 12-0.
You did the 12-0-ing? All right.
I did the 12-0-ing.
Wow.
Nice.
The amount of shenanigans that you could do with Vet Spigot on that team, with him kicking the ball and getting them to kick it back and then kick the ball again, was really good, especially with Harry right next door. So Harry's giving out momentum every single time you do that.
It's not fair.
Or you can do teamwork abilities for free with Harry.
So
there.
You can just pew, 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 and just keep gaining stuff off of it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome. The team that I ran with was actually Harry, Spigot, Pride, obviously Brisket 3. Who am I missing?
Mist,
yes. Because I did not run with Benediction Grace. I don't think I would ever really run with them.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like them that much.
I don't like them in that team, but I like them quite a bit with like original or like Vet Rage. I think Benediction is still outstanding.
Well, and if you recall, that was the team that I was most interested in when I first came, right? Because and you're like, oh, they're kind of half a team because they're a minor team, and I get it now.
Yeah.
But I picked them all up in the Black Friday sale because I just love their models. Their aesthetic is just so good.
Beautiful,
so if I'm excited about anything,
and that thing too.
Oh yeah.
That's what I'd be excited for, is just to get those models and get them. You know, start painting them because they just look so good. And I see everybody else paint them on the Facebook groups and stuff. And I'm like, geez, they're so nice.
The weird part is it feels almost like that the limited edition Pride is not the limited edition Pride, because the Pride that comes in the box, no one has.
Yeah,
everyone's got Pride on the box.
Yeah.
It's because they're going to
be lucky in that regard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they don't want to pay $75 for a Pride. So I guess, yeah, it is limited. Yeah, that's fair. I like it.
That's funny.
Oh, and then I guess for me, the things I'm excited to play are, I'm really excited to play Alchemist. I've played an assload of game with them already, games with them. And then I think that Union lineup that I mentioned that you should play is fantastic. It's a lot of fun, and I definitely want to get like some more reps with that because I don't think anyone sees it coming. And
yeah, barely anybody sees Blackheart. I mean,
they hit harder than I thought. I watched a video with them. I was like, Union hits really hard.
They
like,
can with rage do a lot of damage. Yeah,
Blackheart.
Back in the day with Vet Rage was Vet Rage running around with Gutter and.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a really strong.
Just Gutter, Benediction, and then like they had Vet Fangtooth for a little bit, and he was not okay with that team.
Oh, I'm thinking of more season three.
Yeah, well, he was part of season like at the very end of
Vet
it.
Vet Fangtooth didn't exist then.
He was at the very end of season three when they just let everything go off the rails.
No, yeah,
but earlier on though, yeah, no, yeah. Like just having like Benediction control everything, Fang or Gutter just like completely ruin everybody's life with like Vet Rage.
That
Vet
was
Rage himself, yeah.
That was two of my four games that I in my very first tournament I ever went to was I faced against Vet Rage.
No,
and one of them was against Keith.
Yeah, Keith's.
Solid. I believe it was Keith. Yeah,
yeah, that's a scary team.
All right, so we quickly go over any recommendations.
Yeah, let's do recommendations.
Recommendations. Do you have anything that it doesn't have to be anything Guild Ball related, but we want to try to get through this quick because you have to go home. Do you recommend going home and cutting recommendations?
No, actually, I'd rather learn how to pin, but we have to go to dinner.
Yeah. We have to go to dinner
first?
No.
You guys aren't invited, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
Where are you going?
I think she wants to go to Lambardino's.
Oh, I don't know where it is.
It's,
I have to look it up. Sounds delicious.
It's
Johnny,
near...
you want to go to dinner?
No, yeah. I have to go back. I have to go back home to my own wife.
Oh, no. Aww. Just stay the night. It'll
no,
be fine.
No. She wants me home.
Just buy the house next door. And...
What? No, stop it.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be easy. We could just knock down one of the walls and boom.
We already just bought a house. We don't have money.
Yeah, you can
We're
flip
poor.
It. You can flip it.
Stop it, yo.
I know what I can recommend. I recommend... This is Guild Ball related. I recommend going on the if you're a new player, right, and you're trying to get into it to go on the buy sell trade and ask around for what you're looking for because all of those people are wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my recommendation because it saves you a lot of money. And
in this day and age where it's seemingly a little bit harder to pick up some of the official product than... It's probably...
Yeah, secondhand is good.
Secondhand is really solid.
And Bartertown has a bunch of stuff, too. So.
Well, and I got my Hunters secondhand, and the guy who I got him from he was a commissioned painter and gave me some extra stuff in there. So people are usually pretty accommodating, too. So
nice.
It's always nice.
Awesome. I guess for me, recommendations, I just picked it up. You should play some Red Dead 2. Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
You seem to be having fun. Except when you couldn't like get into walls and your horse was vexing you with items, but
well, I mean that's basically the fun and the quirks of Rockstar games is, oh man. I remember when I first played like Grand Theft Auto 4 and all the characters walk around like they're on fucking roller skates in that game. And that was right after I got done playing Assassin's Creed.
Sure, which is so fluid.
Which is very fluid, yeah. Very tight in the controls. So, yeah, my character was consistently, in Grand Theft Auto, was consistently falling off buildings. Because you just, like, run in and you're like, ah, I just fell. And you guys watched me when I was just trying to go into a doorway. And I kept on going back and forth. And
that was rough.
As I'm getting shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Red Dead 2, I'm just still in the snow area. The graphics in that game are just some of the most beautiful I've seen.
It was pretty.
And yeah, it's everybody else seems to like it.
Hype.
Yeah. Just don't play Fallout 76.
I've heard that's poopy.
That's pretty much hot garbage.
Yeah.
Aww.
User score on that is like 2.4.
Oof. That's harsh.
Really?
Normally those are on like 10. Fives and sixes, like even on bad games.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. It's not doing well.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
The whole canvas bag incident as well. So people paid like $200 for the exclusive edition of Fallout 76. Sure. So it has the giant Fallout helmet that you'd see on one of the I can't think of the armor sets.
Okay.
Yeah. But it would be to have a helmet, and then it was supposed to come in like a really nice canvas bag. Yeah. Except it came in like a vinyl bag.
Oh no.
Which they said, like, we couldn't source out the material for that vinyl bag.
Mm-hmm.
but like 2 months earlier for a user event that they had where they invited a bunch of YouTubers in to come and check out Fallout 76. They gave away gift bags to everybody. That was a nice canvas bag with a liner on it.
Yeah.
They gave away those not to, to people that they're not even paying.
Right. Yeah. Just as like free stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bunch of crap.
And the people who paid 200, you know, bucks for
helmets got
collector's edition gets shit.
Yeah. So, all right. So for my recommendation, this new horror movie, it's been out for a little bit, but it just dropped on Shudder. It's called Mandy. It has Nicolas Cage. It is the crazy, like, no, you stop. Nicolas Cage is a treasure. We'll get back to that in a second.
He's a national treasure.
Well, yes, he is.
And national treasure, too.
Yes. But anyways, no, this movie, it's like this psychotic, colorful, crazy, like, insane, like, revenge story.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's bloody, it's visceral, it's violent, it's just, it's fantastic. Like, you just have to go see it. It is.
No fun. Is it in the theaters?
No, it's so, you can watch it for free right now.
Is it on like a
so
like
it's on Shudder. It's on Shudder. So you have to go to like Shudder.com. You can sign up for a free trial for like a whole week. It's like their flagship movie, like just dropped this past week. And it is insane. It is so goddamn cool.
And there's no flaming skulls in this one or anything?
Like there's a flaming skull. There's motorcycles. There's a fucking chainsaw fight. It is incredible. There's like crazy like acid trips. It's wild. You have to go see it. I loved it. It's going to be up there for one of my favorite movies of the year, probably.
Well, have you already seen it?
Yeah, I watched it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we watched it like last night or whatever.
I was
going
to say, it was like, it's going to be one of my favorite movies of the year.
No, I mean, like, I have to like.
Have you actually seen it?
Yes, I've seen it, but I have to like figure and weigh it against other movies and stuff, too.
You got
to
watch it like four or five more times to see if he's.
I'll probably watch it again like once Lacey's not around because she was okay with it, but she is not a big Nick Cage fan for. I don't know what reason. But yeah, so Nick Cage is the most perfect actor ever. He is this rich guy. What?
No.
What's?
Face Off.
Yes, Face Off. Face Off. But no, anyways, so he's this guy who just loves buying shit and stuff. And he just wants all of it. But he is terrible with managing his money. So he's forced into doing any movie anybody asks him to do to get the money for these things. He like owned a castle. He like tried to buy like some Mongolian warlord's like bones or whatever.
Are you sure that he wasn't in the Madoff schemes? I think he was involved in those and lost a lot of money that way too.
That's possible. I'm not sure, but I know he has problems with money and he loves things. So he buys everything he can and he's outstanding.
All right.
So
you can have your opinion.
But, okay. Nick Cage is awesome. And he's a freaking Oscar winning actor.
I'm sure he is.
He is. He was for like Leaving Las Vegas, which is like a pretty good movie. So he's in good stuff. He has great movies. He also has a lot of bad movies.
Oh, yeah.
But he's in some good stuff. Con Air is fucking awesome. That always holds up. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm not doubting that he's in good movies. He's just.
He's generally, yeah.
If you would replace him with someone else, the movie would just be. Better in my opinion.
You're a savage monster. I'm done with this guy. Shut this off. Me and Alex are going to go fight right now. Cut it. get done.
All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll be around in a month.
Okay. Yes. We'll be back soon. Bye.
Yep.